Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
But as we get into it today, I think that this has a powerful word about forgiveness and reconciliation. And as we do that, and as we talk about trust, I had a meeting this week with the principal here at the middle school and to talk about Vacation Bible School and how we do Vacation Bible School. For the past number of years, we've done it in this space. And we've been working in that partnership together about how to make that happen and mutually beneficial. And so last year, he assured us that we would do this partnership thing and it would be at no cost to Faith Points. And so midsummer or so, we get an invoice from Frederick County Public Schools. And they painstakingly looked at the number of hours that we were in the building. They painstakingly looked at the different places and services and how many janitorial hours were there, and they painstakingly let us know the cost of the building for that week. And so there's this $2,600, which is a little bit more than $0, invoice that comes in. And so I made a phone call, and my default reaction when something like that to confront or to name some kind of hurt or some kind of breach of trust is humor. It's not always appreciated, but that is my default MO. And so I called the principal and I said, "Hey, you guys did a really great job of letting us know the kind of discount that you gave us." Yeah, and he's like, "Wait, what? What?" And I was like, "Yeah." And so the next day, I got a call from the facilities guy, like the tippy top of the facilities, org chart for the county. He's like, "Hey, I think there's some discrepancy on what we did." I was like, "Yeah, thanks for the discount." And he said, "No." I said, "Oh, yeah." And so there was this kind of standstill for a little while of me saying, "Well, this is maybe, $2,600 more than I planned to pay for this space," because I was assured. He said, "Well, you were in there, right?" I said, yeah. So we went through this whole thing, and there was wires crossed and people getting territorial and me just saying, "Well, we got to figure something out because this check's not going to come from us in this way." And so we worked something out. We worked something out for this year, but still, or for this past VBS. But then Principal DeDone says, "Hey, let's talk about the summer." And what is my first reaction? Is I'm thinking about how well last summer worked, right? I mean, it worked great the week of VBS. A few weeks later, it wasn't so great. But for that moment, it was really great. The space works out really well for us. And so he said, "I think I have a solution." And I said, "How are you going to prove it to us, right?" Because coming to the table and having that conversation, I had to name my hurt and tell him, "Well, to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous because that trust had been broken, and this seems like a very similar conversation." Anybody else been there before where, like, you've been hurt or trust has been broken and something has happened, and then there's, you have to confront that or you have to start to move forward, and it's that kind of moment of, do I really want to do this again? We have, and when we do, we have an alternative space that if this doesn't work out, we can just go, to Wesley Chapel like we did a couple years ago, and that'll work just fine. But this space would work a little bit better if we work everything out. So today we talk and we have the communion table set before us, as we did kind of a month ago in January, the first Sunday of January, but as we kind of have had it for the whole series that we've been talking about, Sticks and Stones, realizing that this is a foretaste, a sample, just a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And even though it looks like a very ordinary thing, that's part of the magic, of the wonder, of the holy mystery, as some say in the mystic traditions, that there is this very ordinary thing of bread and cup, of bread and grape juice for us, that then makes this meal something bigger than what it is represented here. And so this sample and this foretaste is wonderful, but then we realize, especially on this first Sunday of Black History Month, we realize that we haven't always been good about bringing others in and welcoming others in and saying, hey, the table is open for everybody. Just come and be a part, right? We haven't really done that well. When I was working in Middletown at a church, we took confirmands on a tour of where the church used to be. And this one stop, we would stop and they had membership rolls. You know, we had an average of 200 members on the roll. And then after a couple of years, it split off and it because segregation happened, right? And so then you had to report those who are white Caucasian, those who are Black African Americans, and then a couple years after that, it was really interesting because it was about split half and half, okay, that first year. And then it went down to zero African Americans. And then about 3 years after that, the church closed. Isn't that weird, right? But doesn't that tell a really powerful story about the way that we set our table? That if we start to put up barriers and qualifications around this table, the Spirit can't work in the way that God has intended. And so when that trust is broken, when things break down, the church suffers. And so today, as we open up, we realize that sometimes the church hasn't been a great steward of the trust that has been given. Like if there's any place you should be able to trust with what you're struggling with, what you're hurting for, all those hurts, hang-ups, and habits as we talk about with our Celebrate Recovery group, if there is one place where we should be able to do that, it should be the church, right? Where we acknowledge through all of our creeds and songs and everything else, yeah, we're all broken, you know? And we're pretty quick, though, to say, well, yeah, I guess we're all pretty broken, but you're more broken than me, so that, you know, we start to stratify. And that's a hard thing. But when that trust is broken, when we are not good stewards of that trust, real hurt happens. And about 40% of those who claim no faith or aren't affiliated with any kind of faith say that in their past, there has been a church hurt that has led them to just say, you know what, forget this thing, forget this God thing, forget this church thing, I'm done. And that's really hard. And so this week I sat down with Stacy and talked a little bit about her church hurt story and one of those ways that trust was broken and there was this breach of trust. But then she also brings it back around and talks about then after that, what happens and how can reconciliation start to happen. So Nathan, can you play that video for us, please?
All right, so Chris had asked, or he had mentioned to me that we were starting a series on church hurt, and I remembered an experience I had in a previous church, and I'm looking at the date in 1999, so quite a while ago. I was part of a divorce recovery group, and we were a very active group in the church, and it was a growing church-seeking church. We met in the high school, and we thought we were kind of the apple of our pastor's eyes because we were their go-to. If they needed to have something set up for an event, we were their people. So we were somewhat surprised and taken aback one Sunday when we came to church, and I don't think we knew that it was coming, but the sermon series or the sermon topic was about divorce. And lo and behold, the sermon revolved around divorce being a sin. And it was hard. I remember being kind of surprised and looking up and down the row of my friends who were in the group with me, and we all sat somewhat quietly and were taken aback by this, because this was not at all what we expected from our pretty progressive contemporary church. After that, we met, we had a regular weekly meeting, and of course the topic of the sermon came up. And we had a wonderfully eloquent leader who was able to craft a letter. And I was looking over the letter because I had mentioned it to Chris. And really, I just really appreciate what the letter said. That the letter was not about changing anyone's mind, and it wasn't about arguing the Bible's position. The question was whether God loved us or loved the law. And just brought up some points for the pastor to reflect upon and to think about, it, should he be preaching in the future. And at the end, I don't remember there being a big confrontation or any actual big discussion, but I know that there was a dialogue. And we walked away feeling like at least we had been heard and that we had kind of expressed our feelings, and we were able to move forward from that. And when I was just sharing with Chris that I looked through my notes and I saw that I was right back there on Sunday. So clearly it was just a blip in the radar, and then we moved on from that to having a great relationship for the future.
What? Heard Georgia chiming in the background. Yeah, that's right. Oh man, she's preaching her own little sermon there. That was awesome. And so there's so much about Stacy's story that I really appreciate. One thing is that it's interesting that she had said to me before, and then in the video, did you hear her say that we were the pastor's go-to people, right? And so it's not like this group was marginalized in any way, that the divorce recovery was kind of this go-to group that were there and ready to go and to be a resource and be utilized. And so, you know, even with those that are close to us, sometimes hurt and betrayal still happens, whether that be intentional or unintentional, whether we're aware of it or not, oftentimes, that trust can be a little bit shaky. But I think that it's a good reminder then to remind each and every one of us that we are people, that the church is made up of people who have not yet reached perfection in John Wesley's language, that we are coming to the table broken and in need of that healing that God has in store for us. And so when we come to sit at the table, when we come to be part of community, we kind of have to allow for that grace to pervade a little bit. And Stacy's group kind of took that and realized that, is that we're not God and we're not called to be. In the same way is that those that are sitting around us are not God and we're not supposed to be, right? That God is God, and that's good enough, and God is big enough. And so that this table represents a taste of the kingdom, but it is not the kingdom. Kind of like what Stacy said in the letter, is that the letter that her group wrote said, you know, what's more important? Is it people or is it the law? Same type of thing, is that we have to remember the reality that we're living in, and that this foretaste of the kingdom is just a sample, but not a full realization of what God has in store. And so when we talk about our so what, when we kind of look at this table and say, okay, so if trust is broken, if something is breached, you know, I think about a couple of scriptures, and one comes from the Gospel of John chapter 10, and it says, "The thief enters only to steal and kill and destroy, but I," Jesus says, "came to so that you could have life, indeed so that you could have life to the fullest." If we were all perfect, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come, right? If there was no brokenness and we were all whole, if we were still those vegetarians in the garden like we have in Genesis 1, man, oh man, like it would be groovy and we would just hang out with God all the time. But that's not the case. And it didn't take long for that not to be the case anymore. And so there's this need for healing, and there's this need to say, you know, Jesus also said, you know, those who are well don't need a doctor. And so I'm coming to help heal you. And we know that hurting people hurt people. And so that's some of those breaches of trust that we encounter. And so he comes not so that, you know, to divide and chip away at community and make sure that we're really good at stratifying and grouping, but he says that I came so that you might have life and life to the fullest. And what we realize is that we are made for community. We are made for togetherness. We are made to use those sticks and stones to build a bigger table rather than to build barriers so that people can't come. And so the table is better with you as a part of it. I don't know how many times I say to folks, and if they've been away from church for a while and they're like, man, I don't know how to come back. I just tell them, just come back. Like the right time is right now, because the community is better with you apart. With your gifts, with your graces, with your skills, with your talents. I can't think of, you know, Stacy's story. And if you guys would have left the church, man, it wouldn't have just been a hurt to the church though. Right? Where you guys would have left and there would have been this void that now our go-to people are gone, but also you would have missed out. Is that not only does the church need you, but sometimes you need the church, or a lot of times you need the church, you need community. We do this faith thing together. We read scripture sometimes by ourselves during our devotion quiet time, and we think, oh yeah, Paul's writing just to me. He's not writing so that an individual can read it, right? Literacy wasn't what it was. The intent wasn't what it was. When he says, I'm writing to the church of Corinth, it's not just one dude writing, going, oh yeah, that's pretty good, putting it away and be like, man, my quiet time was great today. It was the whole community. It was, let's gather around, Let's read it together. Let's see what our pastor Paul has to say to us, the gathered people. It's meant to be read at the table. It's meant to have something that is larger than ourselves. And it's meant then to say at the table, if there's disagreement or if there's some kind of friction, like the Matthew scripture that Ben read for us, if there's something that keeps you away, leave your offering at the altar and go find that friend, go find that person, and just name those, air those things that are causing friction. Because you're not going to be fully present with one another if there's all this stuff hanging over your head, right? I mean, you've been to those dinner parties or those places and gatherings where there's like seven things that you can't talk about. And so you're like tiptoeing through that minefield going, all right, now I can't talk about this thing to that person. It becomes like one of those like Real Housewives shows, right? Where you got to think of who's going to hear what and say what. And man, isn't it just much easier to go to the person and be like, look, this really hurt. And it sucks that we're at this place, but I think we can do better. That was exactly what the letter was that Stacy's group wrote. So she made a copy of it so that I could read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the spirit of it was or is so beautiful. And the very last sentence or the very last little bit is, you know, saying, I hope that we made a clear message. We are grateful for you and your leadership, and we hope, we are grateful. There's a little bit of a line in there, so I'm going to make up words. No, we are grateful for you in the church. I can't even read it. Yesterday I could, but the idea being that they made this point, and then they said to their pastors, "We love you. We appreciate your guidance, and this is the way that we feel. I hope that we can move on from this." Being the people that have been called to be strong disciples. And that was one of the paragraphs was, we all want to be better disciples. And so here's the way that we're going to do this together. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that kind of the power of the table? I was having a conversation with one of my mentors yesterday. And she said, how's church going? She was checking in. And I told her a story about our last worship design meeting where I had an idea and some visuals of our series for Lent. And I said, and I went and I brought it and I said, here's the outline. Here's some of the things and the directions that we're going. And worship team said, we don't really like this. And it wasn't the meat of it. They're just like, I don't think this plays. This imagery doesn't work. And then we talked it out. And we have a really great Lenten series right now because we're willing to say, I think there's something better if we just reach and have a conversation, right? And that's kind of where we are. In the next few weeks, we're going to be able to practice this a little bit. It started with the coffee. You guys heard, like, you know, we've been messing with the coffee to make the coffee better. But in the next few weeks, hopefully, okay, that was like our primer. So in the next few weeks, we're going to take this space and kind of shift it like this. All right, so you're going to be facing the way I face. I'm going to be facing the other way, and we're going to work it out together, and we're going to need your feedback as to what works and what doesn't so that we can then make this a place not only where we feel comfortable, but where people who don't have a church home feel comfortable coming in and going, oh, yeah, I could check out this God thing. I could do this. I could be invited to the table. I could encounter it in a way that allows me to grow, and if I have a disagreement, I can go to that person and say, hey, we are not communicating clearly. Those were another couple of my emails this week was, we are not communicating clearly. Email is clearly not working. We need to have a phone call. And, you know, I surmise that 3 minutes on the phone will clear everything up. But we have to be willing to take that 3 minutes, don't we? We have to be willing to take that step. And so that's what Stacy's group did. And she said, I was back the next Sunday taking notes. And everybody grew because of it. But it could have been really bad. But sometimes we need to pause and say, how do I first need to heal? How do I need to work on me? So that I can then come and make this table a much richer place because of my presence there, but also because of the ways that the community is going to bless me. Let's transition into a time of communion and prepare the table as we get ready to celebrate this meal and then go and look at that. God of wonders is going to stop that snow right as we end. That's going to be beautiful. Nice. So let's pray.